Lord, I pray that we would continue to understand that better and better. Thank you for, during this past 3.5 months, showing us one of those lessons about your name and how powerful it is, and why it is sometimes a stumbling block for us to even say it, because it feels there's something there. But we realize now, Lord, that it's the power that's in that name. That's why we don't use it flippantly, and that's why when we do call on it, things happen.
Amen.
People are drawn to a place where they have to have a conclusion, and they have to have a decision. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to continue to draw closer to you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray that you continue to lead us forward. The church that wants to take ground for your kingdom. We want to do that personally in each of our lives, becoming more and more like you, seeing fruit in each of our lives. And we also want to reach the lost. And Lord, I pray that you help us to stay on track with that mission. Thank you for what you called us to, and thank you for the way you allow us to see you work in our midst. We leave ourselves in your hands, so it's the best place to be. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. What an incredible set of lyrics that Miss Kelly called our attention to. We sing these songs, and sometimes we can just brush past the importance of what we're actually asking in here. Heal my heart. Heal my heart. All the hurts, all the pain, all of the issues. Heal my heart, Lord. Make it clean. But open up my eyes to the things unseen. Let me know there's more going on around me than what I see. Help me to get my eyes on that. Show me how to love like you love me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Let me be soft to the things that you are soft to, Lord. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity. Well, that last three little sentences there are where we're headed tonight. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. We will get a better look at that tonight. If you are here because you wanted Mr. Roberts' X-rated premium channel, you're not getting it on my Facebook channel. I don't know what he's offering up here, but man, it's got to be Good Friday night. Happy night. For the past 10 years, I'm very excited. For the past 10 years, I have found myself experiencing and trying a lot of new things. I went to an Indy car race, and I enjoyed that. And in fact, I even got a bunch of racing shirts, a few too many, according to my daughter. A lot of pit shirts. I was wearing nothing but pit shirts for a while. Another new thing, I now go to Comic-Con every year. Woo-hoo! I go to Comic-Con every year, and anyone who knows me knows that my favorite movie genre is science fiction. There is no greater movie outside of Passion of Christ than Planet of the Apes. I'm still fresh every time I see any of it, or any of its two reincarnations. I have even ventured into the world of jogging at a very, 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 very slow pace. I get passed a lot by people walking their children in strollers. But I into that world. You know, all these activities are practices that I enjoy. But they are not behaviors and they are not doings that I am fully invested in. And I'm not fully immersed into these. I like them. They're good. I support them. I experience them, and I want them in my life. However, they do not steer me. They do not occupy any priority in my life, and they do not define me. The things that do steer me, the things that do define me, the things that do have priority in my life are a completely different list of practices. And there's a big difference between these two sets of practices. I say all this because Jesus' one-on-one conversation in Mark chapter 10 is with a man who has the same kind of thing going on. He's into God. He likes God. He appreciates God and even supports God. But when it comes to betting his life on it, well, he is going to hedge his bet. So let's read Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, and this man knelt down, and he asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." "Oh, teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was very young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There's still one thing you haven't done," Jesus told him. "Go, sell all your possessions, and give the money to the poor. You have treasure in heaven. Then, come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." Okay, Bible students, we have got some unpacking to do here in this conversation. Now, it all starts with the man running in front of Jesus, getting in front of Jesus, and kneeling down in front of Jesus. He addresses Jesus as good teacher. And Jesus zooms right in on that concept of being good. Jesus says, "Why do you say I'm good? There's only one person that's good, and that's God." Again, what is happening is that Jesus knows this man's heart. He knows what this man's values are, and he knows his beliefs. Jesus can read our hearts. We've learned that earlier in this study. Jesus can read our minds. And Jesus knows this man's reality and thought process is that the ultimate striving in one's life is to be good. The man says that he himself has been living a good life since his youth. Theologian F.B. Mayer writes this about this man. He says, he was quite satisfied with his own goodness. It was not salvation he was seeking, but some new merit to add to the large stock of excellence he already had. "What good thing shall I do in addition to all the well-known goodness of my character and daily life? What extra claim, Jesus, can I establish upon the favor of God?" Jesus reminds this man that man's goodness, man's virtue, man's righteousness, doing everything right, well, that amounts to filthy rags compared to God's righteousness and God's goodness. This man's goal was to be a good man, but Jesus wants him to be a God man. Point one. Let me make something very clear to you here at the outset. Jesus likes this guy. We're told flat out he likes the guy. The man's not proud. He's not a pretentious big shot. In fact, Jesus is so drawn to this man. Did you notice Jesus offers him a 13th disciple spot? Come with me. Be one of the guys. This guy was wholesome and he was honest. He valued and respected Jesus. He's kneeling at Jesus' feet. But he was a lot like me in NASCAR. He was a lot like me with Comic-Con. He was a lot like me when it comes to jogging. Into a lot of it, but not fully invested in it. Betting it's worth it, but still hedging my bet. When it came to living morally, When it came to living wholesomely, conservatively, this guy put a giant check mark right there under being good. I'm in. I want to live good. Check mark. Good, good. Check. That's what I want. Apparently, this rich young man, where we learned he was a young man in Matthew chapter 19, he had learned well that God's righteous ways, that means doing everything the right way, everything the way God wants, everything the good way, that's being righteous. Doing things God's ways, following God's commands, those are stepping stones to a blessed life. They actually work. They you come up with functional living when you live God's way. Proverbs 21:21. Let's read it three different versions. If you try to be kind and good, you will be blessed with life and goodness and honor. Whoever goes hunting for what is right and kind finds life itself. Glorious life. Anyone who wants to be godly and loving finds life, success, and honor. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16. God speaking. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him and keep his commands, keep his decrees, keep his laws. Then you will live and you will increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Gang, God's words, God's ways, God's wisdom, and God's instructions to us are life-giving. And it doesn't matter where you are in your spiritual journey. God's truth works. God's insight works for everybody. You come across someone, let me offer you a test. Come across someone who's struggling in their marriage. Oh, my marriage is wrecked. Did you ever hear the five love languages? I can explain it to you. That's Peter and Dorcas. I can tell you all about these here. Really? From the Bible? You explain to them, you'll blow their mind. You'll blow their mind with the truth of the five love languages that you get from the Bible. And they don't have to follow Jesus. How about this one? I know I've done that a lot, especially at the firehouse. Run across someone whose life is being commandeered by a friend. Someone whose life is kind of being owned by somebody else. A relative or someone. Explain from Galatians chapter 6, explain boundaries to them. Each one carrying their daily load. Each of us have a responsibility to carry our daily load. But each of us are also responsible to help others with unexpected burdens. Explain the wisdom that God puts in there to them, and the light bulb is going to come on over their head, and it will infuse them with understanding, and it will infuse them with hope. The wisdom in God's word works, period. The rich young ruler had lived God's word, and it was working beautifully in his life. So much so that he wanted more. But what he was doing, gang, was siphoning off the blessing without joining the club. I remember the first time I ever heard about these giant, big stores where you had to be a member to actually shop in. I remember those things coming back for us in Linden. The first time we ever heard was BJ's Warehouse. That's what we had. It was incredible. You go in there, everything was giant size. I like giant. I love it. My friend told me to say, go big or go home. I love this. I love walking out with a mayonnaise jar. It's big. I like that. The problem is you gotta pay to be a part of that. And I'm about as cheap as they come. Put it back then. So what I would do back then to go to BJ's, I'd call a friend who had paid for a card, and I would go with them, have them take me, and I loved it. I got all the blessings, but I never paid for the membership. That was many years ago. I can show you my Costco card that I paid for, that I changed. But guess what? There are plenty of people living that same way today. Siphoning off the blessings without buying in. That is what the rich young ruler was doing. Enjoying the blessing of God without the membership. When it came to being good, check me up. I'm in. I want to live good. Point two. The rich young ruler knew when ordering up his blessings that I wasn't willing to go the step further. Here we go. Point two. God. The rich young ruler was ordered from what he was doing is ordering from God's catalog, but he wasn't going where God asked him to go. Remember, Jesus had come with him. Instead, he was wanting his blessings sent to an address of his choosing. Jesus had come with me. No, when it comes, okay, good, check. Go, no. No. This was his answer. Jesus made this offer. If you want life at its best, follow me. Sure, I have no home. Jesus said, sure, I have no home. Follow me, but I have no home. It's true, I have nowhere to lay my head. Nowhere foxes have holes. I haven't done that. But I want you to join me. I want you to pack up, rich young ruler. Pack it up and help me on my good news traveling tour. That's what I want you to do. We may never pass this way again where we're at right now. But who cares? We'll be doing God's will where he sends us. And I want you to be one of my band of brothers. We're going to go with a baker's dozen. That was Jesus' offer. But the rich young ruler thought about his home. He thought about his surroundings. He thought about his neighborhood. And he marked the box for going with Jesus. No. I'll live good here. I'll obey your commands here. I'll do what's righteous here. But Jesus is saying, but what I have for you isn't here. It's there. I don't have that for you. Can't use that address. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, Jesus told the crowd, if any one of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. What's that, Jesus? What did you say? I say, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. He goes on, if you try to hang on to your life, if you try to use a different address, you will lose it all. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. Oh my goodness, this is gold. The gold, what Jesus is talking about. The rich young ruler had checked no to the box requiring the surrender of where he'd be going in his life. But there was another box just below that one. We've been through the first one, which was being good. Got it. Go. And now, give. Sell your possessions. Jesus says, I want you to jettison all the stuff. Jettison it and follow me. Let's see. Good, check. Go, no. Give, wouldn't check. No. He wrote no in there. He marked no. Now, whispers, here's what you need to note here. Jesus asks this man to give up everything he owned and follow him. But Jesus does not do that with everyone. He does not. That's because Jesus deals with each of us individually. Every one of us deal with God on an individual basis. This guy, that's what Jesus told him to do. Others, Jesus does not do that to. How about Zacchaeus? We just studied about Zacchaeus. Remember the tree? Rich? Did he sell his house? Yeah. Jesus went to his house and ate. Jesus regularly makes good use of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha's house. Did he ask himself? Does Peter, anybody know Peter owns a house? Sure he does. Peter owns a house. Remember his mother-in-law was sick in it and go to Peter's house. Peter didn't have to sell it. Having a home, having possessions, and having a savings account is a wise thing, gang. But Jesus was putting his finger for this guy. He was putting his finger on the one thing that would be in competition for first love. First love in this rich young ruler's life. And in this case, it was his home, his possessions, and his savings account. Point three, have no other gods before me. Jesus knew that there was a lure that was stronger in this man's heart, that was so strong that it would cause this man to put Jesus in second place on his own list of priorities and supremacy of his life. The rich young ruler, his money, his possessions, and his location, that's what would rule him, not Jesus. His money, his possessions, and his location would define him. That's who he wanted to be. Not Jesus' calling, first of all. His money, his possessions, and his location would be what he protected. It would be what he guarded in him. Over Jesus. Friends, can you picture this scene where Jesus making that offer to him and him saying, sell everything I got, give it to the poor, have nothing to follow you? This shell-shocked, rich young ruler with his eyes welling up with tears on his knees in front of Jesus, with Jesus staring back, loving this guy. The whole thing, the big question, would you do it? Would you do it? Will you sell everything and follow me? Picture the scene. Soundtrack comes in. Meatloaf. I will do anything for love, anything you've been thinking of, but I just won't do that. And so the rich young ruler rises to his feet with his head hanging, walks away from Jesus. The last thing we see of him is his back as he heads to his first love. Jesus watches yet another lost soul blindly trading away his life to the full. Trading away possible life to the full, guaranteed life to the full, to hang on to a life of nothing. Friends, this one-on-one conversation illustrates a powerful lesson for each and every God follower. Our God is a jealous God. He heralds that fact in the second commandment. He will not share his rightful place in our hearts with anything else. And he will not play second fiddle. He will not play second fiddle in our priorities. Again, for most of us, God is not asking us or demanding that we take a vow of poverty and possessing nothing. I don't see that happening in a lot of our lives. For most of us, God isn't removing the concept of love or relationships from us. For most of us, he isn't calling us to live a nomadic life with no roots and no roof. But he does demand. He does demand every single one of us first place in our hearts. Amen. First place in our priorities. First place in our actions. The very first commandment of God's incredible Ten Commandments is this. The very first one, the first thing I have, you shall have no other gods before me. The rich young ruler already had a God calling the shots in his life, and it wasn't Jesus. And that trap, that lure, is prevalent today as much so as it was in Luke chapter 9. I love the picture that's painted in the book, My Heart, Christ's Home. I had posted that recently, but I posted it so you guys can read that. It's an incredible book where it uses this allegory of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, setting up residence in our heart, and our heart being its home, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, our heart as a home. And when the Holy Spirit wants to fill every part of it. Jesus wants to be in every single part of our life. He wants to be in the kitchen. He wants to be in our hobby shop. He wants to be in our recreation room. As Mr. Robert told us, you know where he wants to be. He wants to be in all our life, every part of our life. Every part of our home. And as the Holy Spirit sets up his residence in our life, becomes more and more comfortable with us, we become more comfortable with him. And in the book, he talks about Jesus sitting in the living room of our house, in the morning, right by the front door of the house. And we come running downstairs in that living room. Jesus is sitting there in a high back chair, and he has two coffees he's prepared. And he turns to see us run downstairs, and Jesus says, "Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I've been waiting to meet with you and discuss what life adventure I've been planning for the day and for the week and for your future. But you come down these stairs running late, still putting on your shirt and heading straight for the front door. Jesus says, I've been waiting here for you. Let's spend some time together. Sit with me. I have so much to share with you." But we shoot back. "Sorry, Lord. I'm really sorry. I have got to get to work. I just got to get ahead in life. You know that. I want to pay off that school loan. Jesus, you know, trying to get out of debt. I'm never gonna go back into poverty where I came from, Jesus. You know that. You pulled me out of that." So Jesus turns his back, looks back at the cups of coffee, one that he had poured for you, one for him, and he says, "Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow." Living good? Check. Giving Christ first place in our time? Or maybe you run down those stairs and later that evening, you're home, you did the day of work, you run down the stairs later in the evening, there's Jesus still in that same chair, this time has a table in front of him, and he's prepared dinner for both of you. Dinner. "Oh, I'm so glad. I'm waiting for you to come down. I prepared a meal. Me and you. Sorry, Lord. Big plans. I met someone. And it has real potential. Now you may not see much of me for a little while, Jesus, but I gotta throw myself into this. You know how it is." And Jesus responds, "Oh yes. I've seen this before. I really think you need to take me on that date with you. After all, I'm gonna be a big part of the relationship, right?" And you respond, You're the biggest part. "But right now, I need to focus on just them. You know, third wheel. No one could ever take your place as Jesus. You know that. Now, no one could take your place as you walk out the door. Jesus has been demoted. Jesus has been dismissed. And he's been downgraded or dropped entirely for the lure of love. This is a biggie, by the way. I wanted to just spend just a couple minutes on this. This is a little sidebar on this one. When I do premarital counseling, there's one question, the one I want to get to, the only one I want to get to. The question that rises above all others is one question that has the power to cause a couple to instantly fail. Instantly. You fail. Anyone want to accept the questions? It's this. Has this relationship caused you to grow closer to God, or has it caused you to grow further away? I'll word it another way. Are you closer to God now with what you're looking to do, or were you closer to God before this relationship? I'll ask, are you a stronger Christian now, or were you stronger before this relationship? Finally, are you more excited, more on fire, and more in love with Jesus now or before you started this relationship? Friends, Jesus offers life to the full with him at the top, leading us through it all. The question that needs to be asked is, does this item, whether it's a relationship or any item, does this item, this relationship, does this job, does this hobby, does anything that I'm talking about pull me away from God, or does it excite me more about God? Does it make me more Christ-like or less Christ-like? Because the answer to that question makes your interaction with that item a no-brainer. Back to our text. Interestingly, Jesus' 12 disciples watched this whole thing happen. They were there when this interaction with the rich young ruler happened. The 12 disciples are watching this. They have just heard a great deal about giving up for God and going where God wants us to go. So the disciples, they ask Jesus, is there any benefit at all for what we gave up? Is there any blessing at all in the sacrifice we made? Verse 24, this amazes the disciples. But Jesus said again, dear children, it's very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astonished. Then who in the world could be saved? They asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it's impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Here we go. Then Peter began to speak up. We've given up everything to follow you. Yes, Jesus replied, and I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution and the world to come. In the world to come, that person will have eternal life. Incredibly, Jesus tells the disciples that anyone who gives up anything for his sake, for the kingdom's sake, will receive 100 times as grand a reward here on earth in the life we are living. Now, of course, Jesus means that they will receive, what they receive will be 100 times greater than what they left. For instance, if you lose a friendship because of Christ, you have to give it up for Christ. By following Christ, you will have new friendships that will surpass the old by 100 times. If you sacrifice possessions, you will receive love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, 100 times more valuable, way more valuable than what you gave up. If you lay your desires on the altar of Jesus, you will receive patience, kindness, goodness, which are far superior, 100 times more superior than those desires. Jesus says anything you abandon will be reciprocated by God at a value of 100 times. Friends, as far as investing your life, as far as investing your heart, investing your efforts, point four, Jesus is a sure thing at a 100-to-1 odds. I will be totally honest with you. I put my life in Jesus Christ's hands 35 years ago, and I can attest, Jesus has come through and is still coming through on that reward. Absolutely. This passage leaves us to start working on our takeaway, meaning actually applying the Bible to our life. That was what our takeaways are. Let's start by asking ourselves this. Is Jesus your first love? Does Jesus have priority in your schedule? Does God's will hold undisputed first place in your heart? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God's agenda? The rich young ruler wanted to be good and he wanted to live wholesomely, but he didn't want it if he had to leave where he was or had to give up what he had. Think about it. 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years have passed since this conversation that we're studying. 2,000 years gone. Let me ask you, do you think that guy made the right decision? Did he mark his scorecard correctly? Whatever he had is dust. Gold for Israel. Dust. Anything he had, that's what he turned away from Christ for. Did he make the right choice? Well, that was him. Now it's our turn. Now it's our turn. You get to mark your scorecard. You have one in your hand. When it comes to being good, are you checking the box that you desire to live out the words of the Bible? Do you want to live God's way, the righteous way? Which this guy saw was an all good reward on this. Are you looking to want to follow God's manual for living and loving? If yes, put a big check mark there. Say, yep, that's how I want to live. I may not be perfect, but I want to live it. That's my goal. That's what I'm going by. Put the check mark there. If not, I want you to be brave. Right now in there. Nope. Jesus loves honesty. Amen. And you know where you stand then. You don't have to worry. You worry about knowing where we're at. You know. I'm not willing to live like God wants me to know. Next, go. What if God asks you to go somewhere? What if he asks you to reside somewhere you really didn't want to reside in? What if he asked you to go somewhere and make a visit to someone? A place or a destination that was not something you wanted on your GPS. But God says, you go there. If you are willing, because God may have work for you to do in that location that you have no plan of going to. Maybe a visit to make things right with someone. Maybe God's calling you to an area that you weren't wishing for. Maybe he wants you to go to a barn in Pennsylvania on Saturday night because there's something he wanted to say to you. If you are willing to relinquish the path of your life to him, if you are willing to do that, I have. Check the box. I'll go where I want to go. And once again, if your answer is nope, like the rich young ruler, put it in there. Finally, give. Are you willing to give Jesus Christ the steering wheel of your life? Anything he wants, anywhere he wants, anything and everything he asks for. Holding nothing back, are you willing to let God provision your life? Starting from your rebirth, are you willing to let Jesus dress you from your rebirthday suit into a regal prince and princess in his kingdom? Are you willing to let Jesus dress you from that tattered clothing you came to him and that shipwreck of life you came to him with? Are you letting him dress you into this mighty adventurer outfitted for anything? Are you willing to let Jesus dress you from a camouflaged existence, fighting for your life, maybe even keeping Jesus camouflaged with you? Are you willing to let him dress you into the armor of a warrior, fighting not only for your life, but for the life of others, a champion? If you are willing to give it all to God, then check the box. If not, I encourage you, write your no in there, but start your search. What are you going to believe in? Start your search. Be deep enough to go into those questions and say, I want answers. If your goal is truth, I know you're going to wind up. See you back here. And if you checked all three boxes, if you checked all three, congratulations, you just hit the lottery.
Amen.
100 times coming your way. Jesus is paying. Oh, wait to see what you're going to get. It's a windfall. It's amazing. Wait to see the family of God you've inherited. Wait to see the places he takes you. The new adventures he takes you on. Jesus says, you get 100 times on this side of the great river. One day we're all going to pass that great river and get to the other side. And Jesus says, oh, when it comes to that, when it comes to going over the great river, in the world to come, that person will have eternal life, quoting Jesus. Talk about 100-to-1 odds with guarantee that you're going to win. Eternity in heaven with Jesus as a co-heir in the kingdom of God. We're also getting life to the full here on earth. And power. creator, the sustainer of life, the Holy Spirit inside of us, power to be victorious in all circumstances that come at us, anything you can encounter during your epic adventure. You've got what you need. You got those magic slippers and click heels and they're there. You got that secret jar. I said, oh, that's what I needed to get at it. You got it. Jesus offers it to you and me. Here's your offer. Do it. Go. Give. Now follow. Follow me. Let's bring the band back. Let's get to our feet and let's talk to God one more time. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us. Lord, I pray you'd help each of us to get our hands around the concept that the rich young ruler couldn't get his hands around. I pray that you'd help us to know that what you offer is the offer of a lifetime. I know it's scary. I know there's a lot of questions you have. But he asks us to put our faith in him. And that's it. Put your faith in him. And let's go on the adventure that you never dreamed possible. Lord, I pray that you continue to lead us and guide us where you want us to go. Lord, thank you for giving us a story of a man who showed us things to be mindful of. And Lord, I do pray that you continue to keep your hand upon us as we interact with those that you have placed us in life with. Lord, we need to be those shining beacons that you call us to be, that they would see something different in our life. And Lord, I pray that you help each of us live the life you've called us to. The good, righteous, wholesome life you called us to. Lord, give us the power to follow your word. And Lord, I pray that you be with us as things will come our way to challenge us. And people we come across who need to know you will be challenged to go. There are things that will be left to embrace the cross. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to realize that we are to give. You're to give it all. Nothing held back. Nothing as a first love in our life over you. That's how we find life to the full. Now help us to do that. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful night you've given us. And thank you for showing us what we can think about this week and pray about and have you let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts about. Now, Lord, keep your hand upon us as we travel through the weekdays. I pray that you would help each of us to do what you call us to be. I pray that you'd take us where we need to go. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this amazing little church that you allow us all to be a part of. And I pray that our arms be wide open to anyone else who is looking to find acceptance and truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I hope you had a good evening. To see you next week at 7 o'clock, and as always, we will let you know where we're going to be. But have a great night, everybody. Thank you for being here.